Proverbs 18 in your Bibles, the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. We'll read a few verses together, pray together, turn to some other verses in a few moments. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly, foolishness, and shame unto him. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Father, thank you again tonight. We hold in our hands your word. And we know, dear God, that these are words of truth and light, blessing, that it is a sword, and that it searcheth the inward parts. And I ask, God, that you'll help us to open our hearts to what it has to say for every one of us as your people here tonight. As always, we need to hear from you, and I pray that we shall in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the book of Proverbs, as everybody here knows, is a book about wisdom, right? And specifically, as we've noted before, it is a book about the wisdom of heaven that tells us how to live on this earth. And of course, as you also know, it's the kind of godly, helpful wisdom that is so beneficial that even the lost in this world will gain by hearing or heeding its words. When our Lord Jesus talked about the children of this world being wiser in their generation than the children of light, is that possible? The children of this world, he said, are wiser in this generation than children of light. In Luke 16, he was specifically pointing to the unjust steward's foresight as benefiting that steward and his family. That's the kind of wisdom that we're going to look at tonight. Because tonight we're going to look at one of those qualities of wisdom that benefits people across the board. Saved, unsaved. The kind of wisdom that even if you're saved and you neglect it, you're going to bring in more problems in your life than maybe even your neighbors do. People who understand and embrace this verse in Proverbs 18 are people who very rarely hear or make the wrong call. Almost never do they come down on the wrong side of an issue, which is vital. They just seem to have crystal clear thinking. And with clarity of thinking, these are not the kind of people who hardly ever hear words like, "You're fired," "Will the defendant please rise?" "What were you thinking?" "You have the right to remain silent." "We welcome our next guest on Mari Povich or Jerry Springer or whatever it is." On the contrary, these are the kinds of people who hear words of welcome and gratitude and blessing throughout their lives. What is the verse? It's verse 17. "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Now, what exactly is Solomon saying here? I mean, this is a text so simply stated, but also stated, you'll notice, in two separate parts. We'll take the first part, which says very simply, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just." In other words, now follow this. Here's a man who is first to present his case. And when he does, he seemeth just. He appears to be right in everything he's saying and everything he's presenting. Now, this is a very important principle for us to understand. And again, the most successful people around you, the most successful people in the world do understand it. You know, when a prosecutor's in a courtroom and he's presenting his case and it appears overwhelming, he's got mountains and mountains of evidence and testimony, and people will say, who are following with great excitement, they will say, and conviction, "Oh, that guy is guilty. Man, this is a slam dunk." You'll notice that a really good judge or defense attorney, they're not all excited at all. They're not swayed because they've been down this road before and they know just how quickly all of that so-called evidence can evaporate once you hear, quote, "the other side of the story." There was recently a story in the news that started back in January about a young man who says that he was the victim of a hate crime in Chicago. And that young man said, you'll see when all the surveillance cameras in Chicago show I was the victim of a hate crime." Well, dozens of well-educated, wealthy, respected officials, judges, attorneys, professors, actors, scientists, reverends, senators, some of them now running for the president of the United States. They all came out full of outrage. Instantly. Full of vocal opinions and solutions and judgments, the anchor at CNN says, "This is America in 2019. Except, of course, the only thing that was really America in 2019 was the fact that people lie, and there's a lot of others with no wisdom who are Exhibit A of tonight's text. And by the way, in this one publicized case, now we know about that case, it's been in the news, it was in the news again today. In just this one case, there's millions that aren't publicized, but in this one case, how many people had their characters assassinated? An entire police force was maligned. The trouble, the pain, the heartache, that one incident caused by that one young man. In fact, you realize that that same young man was counting on the fact that the Chicago police would find two people that would be lackeys that they would convict for a crime they never committed. And he was fine with that. So what is the first thing the Bible is teaching here? It is this. One-sided stories or statements are never reliable. I want you to hear this carefully. In fact, if anything, it leans towards always being unreliable. Why? Because here's what it says. When someone is telling a story of his own cause by nature, he's never going to put the brightest light possible on that story. He's always going to put the best light possible on himself and his story. You've seen these interviews that they do on the news, and maybe it's Diane Sawyer or Andre Mitchell, and the person she's interviewing is sitting in these bright TV lights that show every wrinkle and every blemish. But Diane Sawyer there, however, she's sitting in this sort of clouded, camera, foggy, and you see nothing almost. She looks 20 years younger. You know why? Because it's her show. And she is being first in her own cause, the best possible light. Let me say this. What we're going to talk about from the scriptures in a moment, you're going to look at some others, is not a truth that makes people cynical towards other people. It doesn't make me cynical. I don't believe anything anybody ever says. That's not what he's saying. You actually can believe everything people say with the realization that there's usually more to the story. You see, this is another unique thing about the Bible. People who write autobiographies, as you know, they don't include all the warts and all the moles, not when they're writing about their heroes, but we have them all right here. You ever notice? God tells the whole story. He says, "I found David a man after my own heart." But let me tell you what else he did. Abraham, the friend of God. Let me show you what else he did. The whole story. So yeah, a person can be telling a perfectly straight story while only relating the parts of the story that enhance his own argument. Just today, a Navy SEAL was acquitted of murder. And even though his fellow SEALs testified against him, a jury could not convict him. You say, "Pastor, how many of you know the story I'm talking about? Raise your hands. How many of you know?" Okay. Now, I guarantee you have an opinion. Not all of you. Some of you have an opinion already. If you're asking me tonight, "Pastor, what is your opinion about that Navy SEAL?" You know what I'm going to tell you? I have no opinion. Because I didn't follow the trial. I didn't hear all the evidence. I didn't listen to all the witnesses. But I know this much. I know that 2 weeks ago it was a slam dunk. He was convicted. That he was wrong. He was a murderer and so on. And I was skeptical. Look, there's a principle in law called audi alteram partem. It's a Latin phrase. And it means hear the other side. It happens to be a bedrock. It's one of the most critical principles of jurisprudence, even before innocent until proven guilty. Audi alteram partem simply means it's the basis for any kind of a fair hearing in which both sides are heard. Look at verse 13. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Now wait a minute. Look up here. It's a shame and it is a folly for anybody to answer a matter before hearing it out. If it's a folly and a shame to answer a matter before you hear it, before you know everything, all the sides of the story, why do so many Christians do it? It's foolish and shameful for a believer to form an opinion on any kind of partial information, on one report. It's also greatly damaging. You know, one of the things I had to come to grips with almost 40 years ago when I first became a youth pastor, and when I counseled teenagers, which I loved doing, I still love doing it, but I had to come to terms as a young man that a lot of counseling that I gave would be used by the counselee to front load their side of the story. It still happens. It happened back then. It's always happened. Some mom would come to me and say, "Brother Jim, did you tell my daughter that she was old enough to make her own decisions about marriage and old enough to be married? Because she said," and her exact words are, "Bambi, you're old enough to get married." And so I answered, "Yes, ma'am. I told her that." But the exact sentence was a little longer. What I actually said was, "Bambi, you're old enough to get married if you had lived in 1880, not 1980. And of course, I have to say, going through my mind was the idea of this: "Mom, you actually believed your 16-year-old daughter saying that I would say that?" Look at chapter 14. Go back a few pages, would you? Chapter 14, verse 15 says, "The simple." Can I just say that the word "simple" in this case is not a compliment. "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Did you know that the Bible emphasizes that Christians are, quote, to prove all things? The word "prove," like a proof, test all things. The Bible says that we as believers are supposed to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You know what that implies? It ain't all good. "That sounds so good." You ever hear someone go away from preaching, "Oh, that was so good"? It ain't all good, unless it's all from this book. You're supposed to test all things and then hold fast to the things that are good. The Bible says, "Try the spirits." It says, "Believe not every spirit," 1 John 4:1. And of course, if you're here tonight and you say, "That's me, Pastor. I'm the eternal skeptic on what people say. I know that everybody, people have blind spots with their own stories." That's great. That's half of the problem. The other half of the problem is, do you recognize that you have blind spots? That when you think and tell your story, that in fact, when it comes to your own self, you will always lean heavy on your side of the cause. "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just." And you know what that means? Just to others and just to himself. Paul said in Romans 12:3, "To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." That word "soberly" is sophron, and it means safely. So you see, it's really never safe to believe one side of the story, even if it's your own side. Go to chapter 16, Proverbs, would you? A familiar text, of course. Verse 2 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." They're not all clean, but they're clean in his own eyes. And then it says, "But the Lord weigheth the spirits." Anytime you see that word "weigh," kind of picture a set of scales. You weigh them. Matthew Henry said, "We have two ears by which to hear both sides of a cause, ours and theirs." And you know, really, in most cases, there's three sides, I've learned, to every story: his, hers, and the truth. You say, "Pastor, why is this a Bible topic, Bible study?" I'll tell you one reason. You make decisions every week that influence people's lives. You do. Your life and other people's lives. The quality of those decisions is influenced most by the completeness of the information. That's why it says, we read those scriptures, "Seeking wisdom, look after for instruction." You seek it, you want it. A lot of decisions that our nation has made. The war in Vietnam, The war in Iraq, as you know, was based upon incomplete information. They called it, quote, bad intelligence. And, you know, when dealing with people in life situations, obviously you're never going to get all of the intelligence. You're not going to get all the information. But it is a wise and healthy believer and heart that recognizes that the only way you increase the quality of your decisions is to improve your perspective. Open up your eyes by hearing both sides of the story. That's what the text is saying. The old quote is, a man who has himself as his own lawyer has a fool for a client. There's another old saying that says, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. But what Solomon, and it is, but what Solomon is teaching in our text is that the illusion of knowledge, the illusion that I got this, I know everything, is the most dangerous thing of all. It is shocking to me how many Christian believers, mature Christian believers, on its face will look at some meme or some link to an article and just resend it or email it to me. And I'm not talking about anybody recently, if you did it just yesterday or today or tonight. I haven't checked my email in a few days. But, you know, I get them and I see them. Can you believe it, Pastor? So-and-so did this. And I'll look at it and, no, I can't, and neither should you. It's like the meme that says, you can't believe everything on the internet. And it says, quote, Abraham Lincoln. It's got a picture of Lincoln on it. The most dangerous thing is when you think, because you've heard part, that you already know all the truth. There was an old fable about three blind men. Remember in India, they were asked to describe what an elephant was as an animal. They'd never seen it. So one man felt the elephant's side, and he wrote down that an elephant is like an animal, like a giant wall. The second blind man felt its leg and declared, an elephant is like a giant round log. And then the third man felt the tail, and he said, an elephant is an animal that's kind of like a rope. Now look, all the statements were true, but they were not the truth. And in order to get to the truth, you have to hear the whole story, including your own story. That is why David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, try me and know my thoughts. See, think about what he said. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting life. Now, wait a minute. Shouldn't David have already known what wicked things were in him? Can't he see it? Why is he saying, God, search me and you see if there's some wicked way? Because not necessarily do you see it. And he prayed, essentially, Lord, show me the whole story. Not just my side of the story. You know, when I think about Proverbs 18:17, I'll tell you what comes to my mind. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Instantly, I think about the Pharisee in Luke 18. Remember, Jesus said that he stood and he prayed thus to him with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that's his side of the story. And he believed it. Guess what? Most people around him believed it too, including that poor publican. They believed his story. But the rest of that verse says this, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him out. Well, guess what? That man had a neighbor that day, and his name was Jesus. And as the Lord of glory, he instantly exposed the Pharisee for what he really was. He laid waste to that entire lame prayer. In fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but there's a little subtle sarcasm when Jesus said that the Pharisee, quote, prayed thus with himself. That was a one-man conversation. He wasn't praying to God. He was talking to himself. The publican, however, smote upon his breast. He was talking to God, and God heard him and went home justified. The Pharisee told his side of the story. His fans told their side of the story. The publican had his side of the story. And the Lord gave us the whole story. You know, a few months from now, the Democrats and the Republicans are going to start running all their political ads. Aren't you glad? You might even get phone calls. Well, let me just think about it. Is the DNC going to start talking about collusion and immigration and health care? Do you think that these folks are going to tell all the truth when they start running these ads? How about the White House and the RNC? When they run all of their ads, is Don Jr. going to tell in 30 seconds both sides of the story? Is the producer of an ad for the RNC going to put the president in the truest possible light or the best possible light? Look, what I'm saying is, no matter what side, no matter what side the story comes from, the Bible is very clear. Everyone who is first in his own cause seemeth just. So that, you know, by that one example, by way of that one example, nobody with real wisdom ever believes a political ad. Amen? Because they're paid to tell you one side of a story. That's not true, Pastor, because political ads work. Voters swayed several points either direction, direct correlation to political ads and how much money. That's why they raise all the money, so they can have all these ads. Look, I know that. I said nobody with wisdom completely believes political ads. The very idea that polls fluctuate in a week's time, the reason why a certain segment of society is so incredibly fickle is that they believe one side of a story. How in the world can one presidential candidate gain 18 points on the front runner because of a few little words in one political debate? It doesn't happen unless somebody is gullible. You know, in computers, they used to talk about validating the input. I remember years ago, I don't know if they use that phrase anymore, but in the New Testament, this is precisely what we as Christians are supposed to do, called to do. Jesus said in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Paul told the Corinthians, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. You know why he said that? Because the Corinthians were infamous for always believing one side of a story. Somebody told them some rumor about Paul. And hey, it must be true, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Do you realize that two New Testament epistles, 1 Corinthians and Galatians, were written to immature and unwise believers to which Paul was having to write his side of the story? He's having to defend himself from people who are challenging his apostleship. We have an expression in American idiom in which we say that someone, quote, jumped to a conclusion. That's what this text is. And you know, jumping to a conclusion is a pejorative term, as opposed to reaching a conclusion. For example, here's Joe and here's Schmo, two Christians who are both confronted with the same issue about a certain story. The first issue, which is one side of the story, says that Brother so-and-so's sister was on vacation in Vegas, and she saw Alvin and Ruth, I'll use you guys, she saw Alvin and Ruth coming out of a casino with a whole stack of winning receipts. Joe hears that, and he jumps to a conclusion because of the way the story was told. He jumps to a false conclusion and a destructive one, because guess what, Joe? He's a young guy. And he decides, you know what, if a deacon, look at how successful and godly and blessed he's been. If a deacon can gamble, so can he. And he starts playing the lotto, and then it's video poker, and then it's sports online. He's hanging out at the Hard Rock, and for long he's spending his family's grocery money on High Line and on Greyhound Racing because they're going to close it down pretty soon. So he's got to waste all his money there, and then he's addicted and he's broke, and now he's shaking down old ladies at church for their loose change. So much for jumping to conclusions. Schmo, on the other hand, has a deep appreciation for Solomonic wisdom and the wise counsels of Scripture. And you know what he says when he hears it? Same story. He says, Brother Wooster, Vegas, coming out with receipts, not so sure. In fact, I'm sure he figures there's more to that whole story. And sure enough, later on, he hears the rest of the story. And this time the story is Brother Alvin and Ruth were in Vegas, but they were attending a well diggers convention, and you were the main speaker at the well diggers convention. And he was actually in the lobby of a hotel where they both stayed because of the convention. And that's where the casino was, in the lobby. And those receipts, those were tracts that they were passing out to unsaved people all through the hotel. Shmo reached a conclusion. And Joe, he jumped to a conclusion. And I just want to say, if you're here tonight, and you're the kind of Christian who's always jumping to conclusions, in other words, you're always having to take something back because you misunderstood. I just misunderstood. Then that ought to be a huge red flag. That you lack wisdom with first and own causes. That you don't understand. That he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. But he's not necessarily just. It is a fact of life, beloved, under the sun, that one side of the story is just one side of the story. Do you realize that was Satan's tactic with Eve in the garden? His side of the story. That's not how you find the Bible. The Bible says, behold the goodness and severity of God. Truth and mercy. It always shows. What does God do? Tell both sides of the story always. And it's just dangerous. It's just as dangerous to emphasize one attribute of God while ignoring the other one. So too is it dangerous to live our lives by half-truths. You know, turn to Deuteronomy 13, would you? Because we said last week that when God gave the law, in large part, that law was given to reveal who God is and who man is. It was given to reveal the heart of God. You should always think about that when you read the law. It shows how holy he is, how just he is. It's full of mercy. Let's read some of the law. Start with verse 11. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Deuteronomy 13. And shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. If thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities. That's interesting, right? Like hearsay. If thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. All right, let me stop there. Here's what he's saying. This is a law. If you hear in the land of Canaan that there are certain men in such a city, the children of Belial, and they're telling you to go serve other gods, in the next verse he's going to say, go wipe them out. That's not the heart of God. If you hear this rumor that somebody's living in sin, that's not the heart of God. Here's the heart of God. Verse 14, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently and behold if it be truth and the thing certain. Did you get all that? Did you notice how many qualifiers? If you inquire, if you make search, if you ask diligently, if it be the truth, and it is certain. Well, then he says in verse 50, go smite the inhabitants and wipe out the city. But notice the qualifiers. You can act decisively when you've done your homework. And don't act decisively if you haven't. Because he that is just in his own cause, first in his own cause, seemeth just. Now look, I'm going to close with this. All of us as believers should decide based upon this theme that's all through Scripture. All of us as believers should decide that we should not be the kind of person who believes half the truth, half a story. I mean, anything. You go online, you're on the internet, and there's this horrendous story. And let's say it's about someone you don't like. Those are the easy ones to believe, right? That politician, you hate that politician, so there's a story there, and it's about, yeah, I knew that guy was a, Illuminati, devil-worshipping, blah, blah. Oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to forward that to Pastor. Maybe he'll preach on it. No, I won't. So all of us ought to be the type that we don't just believe things we hear on face value, whether it's about your brother-in-law, your sister, your mom, your daughter, because that's not biblical. That's not God. That's not the heart of God. He's saying, inquire, make search, ask diligently if it be truth, if the thing be certain. You can't trust yourself. But secondly, we should also not be those who tell half the story. Hey, Robbie, guess what I heard about Steve Hatcher? It's just what I heard. Now, I've been doing a wrong by telling something I heard, and part of the story, he was in Vegas and he had a bunch of receipts. And then he would be foolish to believe half of that story, that, not the whole story, obviously. And here's the problem. In this part, I'm telling you as a pastor. When Christians do this, and just like the Jussie Smollett case I just told you about, and the unbelievable damage that was done by one young man telling one fake story, and a bunch of people in high positions believing that story, and or at least pretending to believe it, and then propagating it, the damage that was done, and is still being done in a city that already has a problem with crime. Anytime you do that, you tell a story that's damaging, or half the story, or the part of the story you believe, or you yourself accept it, it's going to hurt somebody. Sometimes the damage goes on for a generation. And here's what I've noticed, that when someone is finally faced with all the facts that their story was not the whole story, that their story was a little bit true, but the whole truth was left out so that it caused great damage. And then you go to them, you say, see, look, you were way off on this. You know what they do? Does anybody know what they do? I can tell you as a pastor. Oh, sorry. That's it. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood. Meanwhile, there's wreckage and damage and heartache and misunderstanding. Oh, sorry. It's not, oh, sorry. It's, oh, get on your knees and weep and ask God to forgive you and try never to do it again. It is Satan who goes to the garden and tells half the story. It is Satan who comes to Jesus in the wilderness and quotes part of a verse. It is Satan who wants others to believe part of a story so that it causes damage. And God's people said, amen. Father, we're grateful for your word. And in a society, Father, that increasingly through social media and cable news, in a society that increasingly is embracing the whole notion of being first in one's own cause and what they call your truth or your own truth. May we recognize, dear God, that you have called us to higher ground, to a place of light, to a place of great wisdom as personified in Christ himself. And may we hear these proverbs, may we hear these truths, these words of wisdom, and embrace them, Father, please, so that there will be fruit to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.